Welcome everybody to this session about SharePoint 2013, to app or not to app. My name is Joris Poelmans. I'm a SharePoint MVP and I work at Real Dolmen as unit manager, architect and developer. I'm currently mainly working around technologies such as SharePoint, Windows 8 and Windows Phone. You can also follow me on Twitter, on YopXTwits. I will be also posting most of the samples, things that I show on my blog, yopix.blogspot.com. Okay. So the agenda. First, we're going to take a look at SharePoint 2013 apps. How does it look from an end user perspective? Next, we'll take a look at the different deployment options. What are the different types of apps that you can build in SharePoint 2013? And to finish off, we'll take a look at the different technologies which are used in app development. This session will mainly focus on app development in SharePoint hosted apps. So technology that we'll use are JavaScript, jQuery, REST API, and stuff and things like that. A word of warning, this is some of the demos I will be doing are being done against Office 365 developer preview. In the past couple of weeks, I've noticed some intermittent problems in it, so we'll see what how it goes with these demos. If it doesn't go too well, I'll be recording them afterwards and put them on my blog as well. Okay. So, what are apps in SharePoint 2013? It's a little bit of naming guidance needed, because if you look at SharePoint 2013, everything is called an app now. So if you're creating a list or a document library, everything is now underneath add an app. But in a strict sense, apps are actually little pieces of functionality that you can add to your SharePoint site and which run outside of the context of SharePoint itself, but are providing an integrated experience. Apps are targeted at very specific business scenarios, so it's not really to extend the traditional SharePoint functionality, it's really to put in self-contained pieces of business functionality. So apps from a developer perspective are a new deployment method, and we'll for those of you who have done SharePoint 2010 or even 2007 development, will probably know about farm solutions and sandbox solutions. Apps are a third way of deploying functionality to your SharePoint. It's the main purpose of building apps, or the main reason why this has been introduced, is to allow developers to extend SharePoint, but have as low as possible an impact on the server code itself. To minimize the impact of future upgrades or future changes in the platform. It's driven by the cloud. One of the reasons that apps are there is because you can build apps and host them in Office 365 preview. And they're not only using Office 365, but there is also an option where you're going to combine both Windows Azure and Office 365. And the last very important thing is the app catalog. Most of you have probably heard about this. This is similar that like what you have for Windows Phone. So you will have a SharePoint marketplace in which you as a developer can publish your apps and that other companies or customers can actually download your app and pay a certain price for the app that they are consuming within their environment, either being an on-premise environment of SharePoint 2013 or the online environment of Office 365 preview. So something very important to understand is that apps live in a very isolated environment, so there's a really minimal impact in the SharePoint site itself. There's also something that you will see if you take a look at the URLs which are shown when you navigate to a certain app. And the site, there's two types of webs you have to distinguish between. The environment in which the app is running is called the app web, and this can either be within SharePoint or this can be something completely isolated, like runtime environment in Windows Azure, or even environments that you host in a totally different technology, being on your own hosting environment, or even in another hosted environment. The site on which the apps are functioning and in which they integrate is called the host web. To make it possible to have a certain app function in a specific place, there are two different IDs that you will see appearing in the app URL. One is the app UID, and that's the unique identifier of your app. And the next one is the GUID app 1. That's the unique identifier that you will be using to address a certain site. So these are the different URLs that you can also use to interact from within your app web to your host web. So which are the different options that we'll see? And this is the traditional one, the one which we've already seen in 2007, in 2010, and which still exists as the farm-based solutions or the full trust solutions. You have full access to the SharePoint API, and your code will run on the server. This also means that when you want to deploy these type of solutions, you will need to have server file level access, because you will need to use either SDS-ADM or PowerShell to add your solution into the farm catalog. It's the classic model from 2007, and this is mainly oriented at on-premise environments only, or dedicated hosting environments. And this is not something which is possible in Office 365 or in most hosting environments. The second option was the option which was introduced with SharePoint 2010, as the sandbox solutions. And there, the SharePoint solutions will run within a separate runtime environment. You don't need file-level access to add your solutions. A site collection administrator can upload your sandbox solutions to the sandbox gallery, and the code will run. It's still possible to run server-side code, but it's limited to a certain scope, being the site collection. What's also very important with this one is that when you deploy a sandbox solution, you can put quotas on it to see how much memory server resources your sandbox solution is consuming. So when your sandbox solution is consuming too many resources, an administrator can block your solution. This is also the option which is currently available on Office 365, the current Office 365, where you can add sandbox solutions. If you look at the preliminary guidance, it states that sandbox solutions are being deprecated, and that Microsoft encourages you to use the new app model to extend SharePoint. So the new app model, it allows you to create app files or app solutions, which you can either deploy from a corporate catalog, which is actually a site collection in which you will host your own private SharePoint app marketplace, or the public marketplace. It's very limited to server footprint. Most of your code will run outside of the SharePoint context, either in Azure or in your own hosting environment. And even when you use the SharePoint hosted way of working, you will see that you will only be able to use jQuery, JavaScript, and REST API or Silverlight. So there's a very heavy reliance on client-side technologies. Apps also allow you to use other technologies. You can, for example, create your own app in another technology, being Java or PHP, and integrate it now into SharePoint and interact with SharePoint using the new REST API, which is an extension of the client-side object model. Of course, this is very targeted at online deployment, but can also be used for on-premise deployments. So this is not really a substitution, this is a choice next to the other available options. So, if you look at how you can deploy SharePoint, it's three main deployment options. You can either do an on-premise install. We'll look at that a little bit later, because especially for developers, the on-premise install or their local option of running SharePoint is becoming a little bit trickier. You can do a hosted install where a hosting provider will give you a dedicated or a shared SharePoint installation, SharePoint 2013 installation, or you can use Office 365 preview. And these are the three different options where you can deploy. Of course, there are also hybrid scenarios possible where you will use part of your workloads in Office 365 and part of workloads in, for example, on-premise install. Then for development options, farm solutions still there. Sandbox solutions are also still possible but are being discouraged of being used. And then next, the three different types of apps that you can build. You can build SharePoint hosted apps, developer hosted apps. There you have to create your hosting yourself, and Azure hosted apps or Azure auto-provisioned apps. And these two names are kind of used intermittently. Then from a development perspective, you can now build apps in the browser. And you can also still customize your site using the browser the same way that you did it in SharePoint 2010 and SharePoint 2007. SharePoint Designer is also still there. So we have a new version of SharePoint Designer aimed at very specific workloads to add customizations. For Visual Studio, you have to use Visual Studio 2012. Most of the demos I'll be doing are using the RTM version of Visual Studio, onto which you have to install the Office Developer extensions. But we'll talk about it a little bit later. And since it's possible to actually do remote hosting of your apps and integrate them into SharePoint, you can also use other development tools or other platforms such as Java, Eclipse platform, PHP, or other types of development environments. Okay. We'll log on. So I've created or I've registered for an Office 365 developer preview site. This is something different from the other Office 365 demo sites they can use. This is specifically aimed at developers for creating their apps either using Visual Studio or using the new NAPA developer tools. It's free until the beta runs. So we're currently at beta 2. Until the beta, it's also it's free to register. You just have to go online, create your own URL.
Sorry, could you move to the to your desktop, please? Because we're still
sorry.
Yeah, we're still seeing the slide.
Screen sharing desktop. Sure enough. See it? Still loading the screen, yeah. And you see the browser, yeah. Now? Okay. So if you go to Office 365 Developer View, you typically log in using login.microsoftonline.com. You can have multiple Office 365 environments, each where you have their own Microsoft Online IDs. So I'll be using this one. For those who haven't seen SharePoint 2013 yet, the on-premise version will look quite similar to the experience that you're seeing now. This is the new modern UI way of showing content in SharePoint 2013. Some interesting stuff to for those of you who have worked with previous versions and things you will probably need. Site settings are now, again, to the right-hand side of the page, so they're hidden on the little scroll wheel. As I noted before, everything is now an app, so if you go to the left navigation menu, which is still called the Quick Launch, you will see an option in there which is called Site Contents. And if you click on Site Contents, you will see all the different, let's call it, apps which are available within your site. So these can be real apps, and the real apps like we understand it as developers. But these can also be lists, like for example this list, the consultants list, is actually a standard announcements list with some extra columns on it. The other ones are the other types of apps. So how do you add an app? You see the option immediately available here in the middle of your screen. Next, you will see the apps which are available for install. And you can have multiple instances, for example, of a list or a library or everything that you need. And in the left-hand navigation, again, you will see different apps that you can download, but you also see the SharePoint Store option. And this is something for on-premise environments that you can disable, that your end users won't be able to download apps from the SharePoint Store. This will be the global marketplace available for publishing your apps. So if I go to the SharePoint App Store, it's currently still in beta, so there aren't that many apps in there. But the way of adding an app is you navigate to the SharePoint Store, and this is for the public ones. For example, let's take this World Clock and Weather app. Next, you can click on Add It. And this will tell you to log in with a Microsoft account. It's important to know that there's a difference between the Microsoft Online IDs, which you use to sign into your Office 365 preview environment, and these Microsoft Online accounts. This is similar to the ones that you use, for example, for Outlook or other stuff. Ooh. And this is not so very good. Technical details. Just going to try that one again. See what happens. Add an app. SharePoint Store.
Maybe take another one.
I'll take another one. One I haven't seen yet. That's one that I haven't installed yet. Let's do the Facebook integration one. So since the apps will interact with your SharePoint site at the moment that you install them, you also have to give them permissions. And this is what you do here. If I have to add this app to the developer site, and get do you trust Facebook integration, this actually tells you, do you trust the app to interact with your SharePoint site? And you see here that the app has full control on this site. If you say cancel over here, your app won't be installed. So I'll trust it. And then you see over here, and the new app being available, Facebook Social Integration, we're adding your app now. I already installed some other apps in a different environment, so I'm first going to log on, sign out of this one, just to show you some other apps, which I've installed in a second. App environment, just to show you what are the different things which are possible. You can mark being logged in as a checkbox. But since I'm using multiple Office 365 environments, I'm not doing that one. So this is another team site in which I've already added some other apps. And two interesting ones which I've added. Here is the PingGuide metadata extraction. What this does is it inspects a certain document. It will extract categories and metadata out of the documents and store it inside different side columns. So let's see how that works. If I go back to my team site, I've here my documents library. You've noticed that I've added some side columns in here, PingGuard categories, PingGuard email addresses, and things like that. And what this app has done, it has added some extra menu options in the ECB, or the edit control block, PingGuard metadata extraction. And once you click it, it will call into a remote web service, which will inspect your document and comes back then again and will push information into the different side columns using the new REST API or the new client-side object model. Another interesting one, and this is still busy, here it is. Here's some example of different types of columns which have been found, which different types of information which I've found. Yeah, this apparently still some issues with the different environments. Another option, you should probably try that on your own environment. It's free for download. All the apps in the marketplace are currently being free. So another option is the one for Adlib, where you can convert multiple documents and add them into one PDF. So that's the Adlib PDF application. So let's switch back to the slides. So how can you get started? So there are two options as a developer. You can either do local development. The important thing about local development is that in SharePoint 2013, it's not supported anymore to do development on Windows 7 or Windows Vista 64-bit. It has to be a server operating system. So you're either going to install that locally or use something like Hyper-V or the new boot from VHD option in Windows 8 or Windows 7 or another virtualization platform. For the moment, if you look at the requirements for the current beta, so beta 2, you will need quite a lot of RAM or memory to have it working. TechNet recommends currently 24 gigabytes of RAM for a single server install, so where you will have SharePoint and SQL on the same machine. But 12 gigabytes seems to be workable for the moment. If you're using less than 10 gigabytes, you will see intermittent errors and some memory exceptions. You can tweak a little bit by disabling certain processes like Node Runner or Branch Cache, but it won't help that much. If you're doing local development, you will have to do quite a lot of extra configuration to make app development possible. And of course, development has to be done with Visual Studio 2012. So the easiest option for the moment still is using remote development, where you install a local SharePoint, a local Visual Studio 2012, and you're going to develop against the Office 365 developer site. There's another option, it's called NAPA, and this is actually an app to build other apps. And we'll take a look at that a little bit later, I hope. So how do apps look? And then most the apps that we'll see a little bit later are what we call immersive apps. It's where you show full content of an app on a page. There's also a possibility to build apps which behave kind of like web parts, where you have inside a certain page a certain app embedded. This is actually using the new client web part in SharePoint 2013. And of course, you have the option to extend your current SharePoint environment using custom actions. And so this is the same way that we do it in SharePoint 2010. So you can edit, extend the edit control block, or you can add certain custom actions within the ribbon. Important to note, if you want to develop apps which are going to be deployed on the SharePoint marketplace, you have to take a look at the SharePoint UX design guidelines to get your app approved, since the submission process for the SharePoint marketplace will also approve will also contain an approval mechanism. We'll see how it goes with the other one. So switching back to my desktop. So I have Visual Studio 2012. See if it's switched. Still loading.
It's not yet loading with me.
No, same here.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So you have to install Visual Studio 2012. And next, if you need the Office Developer Tools, you have to install Web Platform Installer, and there you can always get the latest version. You still have to load the Web Platform Installer look for Office and then install the Office Developer Tools. Next, you will see that within your Visual Studio types of projects, you get a new option, apps. It's possible to build apps for SharePoint 2013, but it's also possible to build your own apps and extend Office 2013. So let's do the easy one and build a SharePoint app next to that. Okay. Then you have to say, okay, where do you want to debug your app? Here I'm using the Office 365 developer preview environment. And next you have to choose how the interaction is between your app and SharePoint. So is your app hosted within your own IIS process or in another process, then it's called provider hosted. Is it auto-hosted, then it's actually running within Azure, or is it SharePoint hosted? So most of the times I pick SharePoint hosted for the moment. And then it will look more or less like a traditional project. So you have a number of different files in here. You have a CSS file for styling. You have an app icon, which is added ultimately. You also notice the elements.xml files. These are actually the same way that you provision items within SharePoint 2013 as in 2010. And then the main part of the code is actually here in the default.aspx and in scripts. And since I'm using, this is the SharePoint hosted app, I can mainly use JavaScript and the REST API. You will also notice that it will add references to jQuery. So the jQuery library is used quite extensively to provide the app experience. And then there's a very important file. It's called the app manifest. This is actually describing what my app is going to do. So this is here where I have my title of my app, my name, the icon being used, what's the start page of my app. So once I click on my app, where I'm going, and certain things like permissions. What can my app do? If you remember from just a moment ago, once I added a certain app and app needs to interact with my SharePoint site, it needs permissions and it's going to ask that. Permissions which are asked over there are the ones which are read in this app manifest.xml file. Let's start to try to debug it. What it's going to do now is it's going to build my app. It's actually using the app file. It's actually a kind of a zip file, which is packaged using the open packaging conventions. And then it's going to upload my app to my SharePoint development site. So this is the new app which has just been added. And if you look at permissions, you can see it. Normally, if I click on it, this is not good. This is an intermittent issue which you currently have with Office 365 preview, that sometimes when you upload an app, it's mainly in debugging, and once you click on it, it will redirect to the wrong URL. So if you look at the URL here in the middle, there's a problem with the GUID, so it's redirecting me to the wrong URL for the moment. Just going to skip this one and going to try the one with the NAPA version. So NAPA is actually an app that you can use to build your own apps. If I click on this one, you notice that it will redirect to another URL called NAPA Cloud App. And here I can add a new project. The same way if you would do it in Visual Studio. NAPA demo 3. See if this works. App for SharePoint. Great. And here you will see similar folders being added. A CSS file, the app icon, my pages. This is my default.aspx. And my script folder, and there's no JavaScript file added here directly within the solution. It's referenced using a CDN. I can run my project, and now it's uploading actually the project which is created within the browser to my SPS dev environment. So You also notice in the bottom of the screen that you can actually start building an app using the NAPA developer tools, and then afterwards finish building it with Visual Studio 2012. Here it is. So this this works. So there's actually the problem with the could not continue. Could not continue to the meeting. Could not continue to the page is a problem between interaction between Visual Studio 2012 and Office 365 Developer Preview. One of the workarounds is being reboot your PC or clearing the host file in your C Windows drivers etc folder. But we'll skip that one. I'm going to switch back now to my PowerPoint. So what's the basic SharePoint app architecture? So you have your SharePoint web app, app web runtime. This is where your app runs. This can be within a separate SharePoint web, or this can be in Azure, or it can be in something else. There's a way to hook into events. And once your app gets installed, there are certain events that you can hook into. And it's also possible to transport events into your app. Main interaction with other platforms using the REST API. So that's a representational state transfer protocol. So you're building URLs in a certain format or using JavaScript or the new functionality of business connectivity services. So this is the easiest one. So you have a certain parent web or a host web. And once you deploy a SharePoint hosted app in there, it will create a separate SharePoint web for your app in which your app will live. Within that app web, your app can create lists. It can create SharePoint lists. It can add files. It can use one of the out-of-the-box XSLT web parts. But there's no server-side code allowed. So for the UI, you will mainly use HTML or Silverlight, and integration will be done either using the JavaScript cross-document library or using REST API. This is the easiest one. This is also the one which you will typically use in Office 365 Developer Preview. The other option is what we call cloud-based apps. This is where your app will live outside of SharePoint. Either being in Azure or your own hosted website. This is where you can also use managed code again and managed server side code even, since your managed server side code will run outside of the context of SharePoint. So there's a limited impact, a limited footprint. There are two things that you have to do. One is two different options in cloud-based apps. One is the Azure auto-provisioned apps. This is where your SharePoint web will have an Azure runtime environment next to it, and where at the moment of provisioning, all the separation and all the tenancy will be done before you, and so you don't have to take into account how you're going to separate environments, how you're going to provisioning. It's a very easy way to do that. And the other one is a developer-hosted app, and that's where you have to do everything yourself. And so you as a developer are required to set up your own hosting environment, are required to build in your own isolation for the different app tenants, and you're required to do things like the authentication and authorization of your apps. So from a degree from a difficulty, it's the easiest one is SharePoint hosted apps. There's also this is not very complex apps that you can build in it. Next one is Azure auto provisioned apps, and the third most difficult option is the developer hosted apps. So if you look at the two different options, so you have either cloud hosted or SharePoint hosted, and the SharePoint hosted will be smaller apps. There's no server-side code in there. Everything is done for you, so you don't have to think about multi-tenancy and isolation of your code. The cloud hosted app is you can use for basically everything. You can create all types of applications with that. You can choose your own infrastructure, being Azure, being your locally hosted IaaS sites, or being even a totally different technology. And of course, you have to do your own multi-tenancy handling and permission management. Now the app identity. As you, your app, since it can execute certain tasks within SharePoint, it's very important to understand how app identity works. For those who've worked with SharePoint 2010 and know farm solutions, sandbox solutions, there's know that there are certain risks with it. Farm solutions, they can run full trust. Within your code, you can do things like run with elevate privileges, where you elevate your code to run under a service account. And this is actually too much privileges. This is something that administrators typically don't like. Then if you look at sandbox solutions, this is a little bit too limited. And there you don't have the possibility to run with elevated privileges. And your code will always run under the user context. Now there's something a little annoying with running your code under the user context. And within the application or within your sandbox solution itself, at that moment, it probably doesn't have sufficient rights to do certain things. But at the moment that you activate or install your sandbox solution, you're running actually under the credentials of your site collection admin. So at that moment, you will have too much code. So again, we need something in between. So in SharePoint 2013, apps will have their own identity. So we'll have user identity and we'll have app identity. And it also means that these apps don't only have their own identity, but they will also have their own permissions to do certain things. And the permissions are explicitly granted. So at the moment that you install an app, it will ask, okay, I need to have read or write or full control on this specific scope. For SharePoint hosted apps, this will be this web. And the app identity is actually passed around between the host web and the up web using OAuth tokens. OAuth is generally known protocol of handling authorizations. Should look at it as a similar way that claims tokens, that SAML tokens are used to transport claims. You will have OAuth to also transport identity. This is also something that you will see once you're using other types of app integration. For example, you want to integrate with LinkedIn. You, at the moment that you will have a certain app page opening, it will ask, at the moment that you're going to ask information from LinkedIn, LinkedIn will ask, do you trust this application to do this or this with that information? This similar principle has also been used in SharePoint 2013. So the app scopes are, the app can do things on a full site collection. It can do things on a certain web, and that's being on then the host web, at a certain list, or tenancy. Tenancy is important to understand in the concept of Office 365. In Office 365, all of your SharePoint environment runs in a shared farm, and a number of site collections which belong together and which are assigned at a certain customer are called a tenancy. If you look at an on-premise environment, everything, your whole farm is by default one tenancy, but it's possible to create other tenants within your farm using PowerShell. And next to these general app scopes, there are also other scopes for doing specific things like launching queries or accessing taxonomy or user profiles, or even accessing other systems such as Link and Exchange in the Office 365 environment. In contrast with normal security, or normal SharePoint permissions, where you have a very granular way of defining permissions, here there's just four default rights. It's actually read, write, manage, and full control. And it's no possibility to add your own specific rights. This is the ones with which you have to work. As I mentioned before, they are granted at one specific scope and all the children of a scope. So that means if you grant, for example, permissions to the web level and you give it full control, the app will also have full control on every list in that environment. So how do you find the app rights? They're defined in declarative XML and it's actually done in the app manifest.xml file. You don't have to know this by hand. You have to code this by hand. The designer in Visual Studio will do it for you. So you notice that there's the scope has different parts, and this is the write or the capability, read. And next to it, you have a certain target object, and here in this slide being the site collection, a certain permission provider, and this can be content or search or user profiles if you're accessing specific sites. And then a certain product that you want to access. And you want to access SharePoint, or you want to access Link, or you want to access Exchange. So how are these identity OAuth tokens actually transferred? Once you set up Office 365, there's also an access Azure Access Control service associated with it. And it's actually the ACS service which will hand out the different OAuth tokens. So in Office 365 preview, it's easy. For an on-premise farm, you have to set up an ACS, and then you have to configure a trust between the ACS and your SharePoint environment. And so that once an app gets installed, it will ask to a certain ACS instance to pass on the certain OAuth identity tokens. You can avoid that by using server-to-server trust. These are all things which are quite extensively explained on TechNet. Using app permissions, let's hope that it works a little bit. We're a little bit better now. Close the solution. Open. Ah, first switch my screen. There it is. So most of the samples I'm using are actually the ones that you can also download from the Office code gallery. I will add the link to my blog later on. So let's try to start and debug. So it's now again creating the package and trying to upload it to Office 365 environment. Hope it works. Okay, so you see over here also that my app is requesting to read items in a certain site. So if I click cancel, my app doesn't get installed. If I click trusted, it will install the app and grant permissions to my app. Nope. Still no go. I'll try to explain how the Visual Studio structure is looking, and then afterwards I'll post some videos with a walkthrough how the different apps are deployed and how it actually looks. So this is a very basic app. And if you look at the Visual Studio structure, it will, if you look here in my feature designer, so what we'll do, we'll add the default.asp or the home.aspx. So every app needs to have a start page, and the start page will always be a full immersive app. So even when you try to build an app part, and that will look like a web part, you will always need a full trust page, a full immersive page. We'll also deploy my JavaScript files. So here is app.js, is where my logic lives, and here I have already jQuery 1.8. My look and feel, the CSS files, same for the images. And here's something different. Within my within my app web, I will also provision a list instance. So within your app, you can still provision lists, and you can provision content types and things like that, but they will be provisioned within the app web. So they won't be provisioned within your host web. And I'm also adding a custom action to my menus. And this is on list of type 100. So on the document libraries, I will have a custom action called Hello World. So how would the app normally look like? If I go to home.aspx, we'll have a big page with one button on it. And if I click on a button, it would return the number of lists in the web. And since I'm provisioning one list, it will return one. I've here also something called SP App iframe that allows you to embed within your app other parts of other sites. And I'm also provisioning an XSLT list view web part, which will show you the list that I actually provisioned using the list definition. Going to try and deploy that one without debugging. See if that works. Retracted, retract succeeded. Try to deploy it now without debugging. Still one error. Still a problem with deploying to the development environment. We'll come on that later. Now there's something very important to know as well. Since this is an app which runs within the context of SharePoint, this is a SharePoint host app, all of my code will be actually JavaScript code. And there's something very important to notice over here. It's these two functions. This is actually, first part is jQuery, which is throwing me an event when the document object model or the DOM is loaded. And once the DOM is loaded, I will have an anonymous inline function which is being executed, and that's my SharePoint script on debant function, which will pull in the sp.js file, and the sp.js file is the one that allows me to use the JavaScript client object model to interact with SharePoint. And so after the sp.js file has been loaded, it will call into the SharePoint ready function. And the SharePoint ready function is called, is actually written in app.js. So once you go to app.js, and this looks like normal client-side object model script as you would write it in SharePoint 2010. It's not a lot of difference in here. I'm retrieving my client context object. And next one, I click on the button with the get list count, it will call into the get web properties function. And the get web properties function will again use the context object to retrieve my SP web object, retrieve my SP list object, load it, and then use an async query to retrieve the different informations. The async function will have two delegates that it uses, and one on success and one on failure. And on success, I will get from my SP list object the count of the number of lists which are actually in that object. And this is the way that you can code against SharePoint 2013. There's not a lot of differences with the traditional way of writing code. Switch back to the slides. I have to show you one thing, how you define that your app has certain permissions. As I told you before, it's something which is defined in the appmanifest.xml. So here I can add permission scopes, and now I have a scope web, and I have a read permission. I can add, for example, that I want to have search permissions, and I can say, for example, query ignore user. This means that the search will be executed with a different context. can, for example, also call into the new social capabilities where it can read or write against the new social fees in SharePoint 2013. So there's a number of different things that you can add in here. If you look at the app manifest, it will actually say view code. You notice in here that it will actually add in the necessary app permissions in here in this object. So scope of product is SharePoint. I have my content provider, and here I have my social provider, and a certain scope, site collection or core, and a certain write that I have. So we can also add it in here, but it's easier probably with the designer. Switch back to the slides. So how do your apps connect to SharePoint? And in the last code snippets showed you was actually using the JavaScript client object model. There's also something new called the SharePoint 2013 REST API. It's actually extending on the current client.svc and extended it with REST capabilities. And then there's something as well. It's called the JavaScript cross domain library. If you look at, if you Bing for it, with the SPE request executor, we'll find some code samples for that one. So the main investment in 2013 are in extending the current client SVC with REST capability. This is especially easier for writing non-.NET code or writing JavaScript files, JavaScript code in SharePoint, which was a little bit trickier in SharePoint 2010. Everything is implemented using the OData protocol. It means that the REST syntax, the URL syntax that you will be using, is compliant with the OData protocol. So once you know that one, it's easier to call into SharePoint. From a programming perspective, this is largely unchanged. So you still create your SP context objects. You do execute your queries, either async or on the same thread. What has changed as well is that there are new APIs, mainly for the SharePoint server functionality. So from a SharePoint foundation, it's only the change with REST capability. For a SharePoint server perspective, you can now call into user profile, search, taxonomy, feeds, and many, many more. This also means that the web services way of interacting, for example, with search or user profiles has been deprecated and is not there anymore. The new way of doing that is using the new REST APIs or the extensions in the client-side object model around these APIs. So this is the one that you probably know. You're in the top and you have your SharePoint server, and then you would type next to it afterwards VDI bin and then client.svc, and then you would call into a certain web that you would get, and this would return everything in Atom format. Now you can replace that with underscore APIs, and then you can call into the different parts of SharePoint that you want to address using simple REST APIs. And we'll take a look at some samples for a moment. Something important to know as well, and once you call into the REST API, there are two return formats. The default return format is Atom. But you will probably notice that once you try using JavaScript, it's easier to switch to JSON format. You can do this by adding into the JSON response application -JSON in the header, and then you can just use JSON objects, which will translate into different objects, and which will work in this way that you don't have to parse all the XML yourself. So how does the REST API look? I'm just going to switch to desktop again.
What is just a quick time check because we are 3 p.m. I don't know how many stuff we have to cover.
Well, almost there.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll skip the last code demo. SPS dev. This is the, hope you see it correctly. Plug it in again. This is this normal REST API, and it's using normal GET requests. You can always try out the format using just a browser URL. So I'm now typing underscore API web, and then I have my all my web properties. If I only needed the title of my web, I could do a select title and ID, for example. This is normal OData protocol. And then I would get back my properties, the ID and the GUID. And this way you can traverse the whole SharePoint hierarchy. Now for example, you can get different lists. And next, if you needed one specific list, you would type behind it get by title, for example. And this will get by title between brackets and then single quotes consultants. It would retrieve me the consultants list. With different users in there. And then again, the same format, the most complex one. I'll post the samples on my blog a little bit later, which are the different syntax that you can use in this one. But this, you notice that it's quite easy to use, and this is actually the easiest way to learn this, the REST syntax. It's by just typing it in the in your browser and seeing what returns is being returned. This is something we already covered. So in a hosted app, everything will be a SharePoint hosted app option. Everything will be SharePoint components. So you will have SharePoint lists, sites, columns, content types within your app web, and you will use CSOM or REST API to communicate back with your app web. So things that you really have to learn is HTML5, JavaScript, and jQuery. I know a lot of developers haven't used jQuery that extensively in SharePoint 2010. This is definitely something you have to learn to get your way around in the new SharePoint 2013 platform. So again, the same thing. On the host web, you can only add custom actions and client-side web parts or client app parts. And in the app web, you can basically provision everything which can be provisioned using declarative XML. If it requires server-side or .NET code within a SharePoint hosted app, you probably need to choose another hosting method using either Azure Auto-Hosted or your own hosting. Just going to see, close this. I'll skip this last demo just to go to the summary and show you some links you really have to take a look at. I'll post it later on my blog. It will be there before Friday to explain you the last demo, since we're a little short on time. So the quickest way to get started is signing up for the Office 365 developer preview. There's also a lot of developer videos being offered on MSDN for the moment. If you only look at the ones which are targeting SharePoint 2013 apps, it's about a whole day of videos that you can watch in there. And then next to it, you still have the code samples. Also go to the BWIC site, so the local SharePoint user group, and register over there, because in the next coming weeks we'll have a number of local sessions around SharePoint 2013. For more information, check out the SharePoint 2013 preview page and all the documentation on MSDN. There's also a specific MSDN forum for developing apps, so if you have specific questions regarding app development. And Jeremy Take, one of the other SharePoint MVPs, has created a delicious links collection around everything in SharePoint 2013. You'll have like hundreds of different information links in there, all pointing to information on SharePoint 2013 app development. And last but not least, there's also a specific Jammer community site on SharePoint, so SharePoint Jammer. You can register over there. You will see that you will need, you get an approval administrator, and afterwards you can use the new jammer also to talk about the different functions and different possibilities around SharePoint development.